Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen, and once again, welcome to Prophetic Atmosphere. As usual, I'm excited about tonight's word. I'm excited that you have taken time out of your busy schedule to join me here for this live broadcast. And those of you that are going to listen to me in the archives, I know that God has a word for you. But before I begin, I just want to lead into the announcements real quick, and then just get right into this word of God. First and foremost, just want to say thank you for all your prayers, for those of you who have been keeping the McQueen family and the Henry family in prayer with the passing of our son, Adrian Henry. My husband and I just came back, amen, just this past week from the funeral. And let me tell you, people of God, your life definitely speaks when you're not here. You really find out what people feel, know, and think about you when you are no longer around. And I have to say that our son, Adrian Henry, there was much love, amen, that was in the place, much camaraderie, if I could use that word. There was much support, amen. And the speaker or his pastor that actually eulogized him made a statement that was actually a little bit ironic, but it was interesting. He said that there were more bishops and pastors, amen, that were there for the eulogy of our son Adrian than there were at most of the convocations, amen, and all of the programs that many of them host. So that says something. That says that that young man's life meant something. And I just want to encourage, amen, for many of you that are out there, that your life has to mean something. He did more in 24 years traveling the world with his music, the gift that God had given him. He did more in 24 years than most people have done in a lifetime. And for many of us who are saved, sanctified, and still sitting in our chairs waiting for the Lord to drop out of the sky and actually do something and open up the door. One thing I have to say about him is that he went and opened the doors because he knew the gift that God had given him, and he knew what the purpose, and he knew what he was here for, and he knew what his destiny was. And in the midst of all of that, as the eulogy went forth and the praise went up and people were worshiping, and yes, there were tears because he will be sadly missed. Trust and believe me, he touched many lives. But also many lives were saved. Many people held their hands up and asked, what must I do to be saved? Amen. And honestly, people of God, that's really what it's all about. That's really what all of our purpose for being here and living the kingdom life is that someone gets to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And not only just get to know him, but accept him as their Lord and Savior. Amen. So I'm saying that to say this. Don't let your life just pass you by. Do not just be saved just to be saved, but actually live this kingdom lifestyle so that someone else can also partake, amen, in the lifestyle that has been awarded unto you, which is to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. And I just want to say, Adrian Henry, you will be greatly missed, son. You will be greatly missed. We love you very much. In the way of the announcements, just want to let you know every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join my husband, Apostle McQueen, for Kingdom Lifestyles. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. On Thursdays, join me for Prophetic Atmosphere at 7 p.m. And you can hear us live right here at www.cttkr.org. That is CTKR, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, .org, or Christ the King, .org. And just want to let you know that is also our website, people of God. Please visit us. Learn more about my husband, Apostle McQueen, and myself. Learn more about Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and the work that God has afforded us to do. And also the sons and daughters that are submitted to our covering. That also need your prayers and your financial support as well. On our website, we have, amen, many sons and daughters that also have their contact information that you can get to know them. And each one of our sons and daughters have Facebook pages as well. So you can also go to their Facebook page, amen, and see the work that they are doing, amen. And see the work that they are actually doing for the kingdom of God. Amen. Many of them have many different needs. Some of them just need your support for Bibles. Some of our sons have Christian schools, amen, that are going forth, and they need Bibles and they need Christian material, amen, to go forth. Some of our sons and daughters have orphanages, and they need support there as well, amen. And some are just actually building ministries, and they just continuously need the prayer and the financial support. As my husband says before, has spoken before in times past, that not always do they need your money, but they actually need resources, amen. And as you make connections through us, and we do have a donate button located on our website, cttkr.org, and you can tell us where you would love your donations to go, and we will make sure that the donations get into the proper hands. Amen. Amen. Those are actually the announcements. Also want to let you know that Christ the King Redemptive Ministry has a Facebook page, Life of Fair, as well as Women of Prophetic Destiny. I also have a Facebook page, Life of Fair. Let us hear your praise report, as well as your prayer request, amen. Let us know what God is doing in your life. Let us know even how the ministry or how this broadcast is helping you and assisting you with your kingdom lifestyle living, amen, amen. And those are the announcements for this day. And I want to go ahead and get into this word. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. That's the book of Hebrews chapter 12, amen. We're going to start at the first verse, and we're going to do a lot of reading tonight. But we're definitely going to have our ears attuned to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say unto his church, his people. Amen. The book of Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to start out of the New King James Version. I'm going to read the word, we're going into prayer, and then we're getting right into the message. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's read. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with the endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. Verse 7. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Verse 11, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Come on, let us pray, people of God. Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, God, I magnify, I glorify you. I thank you for all that you have done. You have been faithful. You have been kind. You have been loving. For this is the day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad in it. Father, even now as we come, I humble myself at your feet. Lord, I decrease and ask that you would increase to me. Let your people hear your words this evening. Let a word come forth that will bring life changes. God, let a word come forth that will provoke us to change. In the mighty name of Jesus, that will challenge us to go higher, go deeper, go further, go faster, God. Challenge us to grow up in the Spirit. Father, I'm asking in Jesus' name that this word would prick our hearts and set us afire, ablaze to complete the assignment that you have for us in the name of Jesus. God, I'm praying and asking that this word will begin to birth forth mighty fruit, that this word will bring forth a mighty harvest. In the name of Jesus, God, you said that this was the year that we will begin to manifest. This is the year that we shall walk in manifestation in your power, in your glory, in your strength. This is the year, God, you said that we will begin to move and do according to what you have spoken in the earth by your power, in your Son Jesus' name. Now, Father, I'm asking now that you would set this word on fire. Give us clarity of our vision. Give us clarity of our hearing. Let us attune right now to your voice. Our hearts and our minds and our wills say yes this evening. We say yes to your word. We say amen. We will do what you say. We will go forth and complete the assignment. Help us, God, to go forth and do what you have called us to do. We have no more excuses. We have no more reasons to lie. We have no more reasons to stay in the same place. We shall accomplish that which you have called us to do with your strength and with your help. We ask all these things in Jesus' mighty name. We pray amen and amen again. Come on and give the Lord glory for wherever you may be at this moment. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your hands and give him some glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Tonight's message, people of God, that the Lord has kind of dropped in my spirit that he's been dealing with me. As my husband and I were taking the trip towards Ohio, and I was listening to the Word of God, amen, and listening to my Bible that I have located in my phone. And as I was listening to the Word go forth, the thing that God continuously speaks in my hearing over and over again is manifestation, or this is the year to produce. This is the year you need to produce. This is the year that you need to go for. And I'm saying that because for many of us, amen, God has given us word. He's given us prophetic word. He's given us vision. He's given us insight. He's given us charge. He's confirmed word after word after word after word after word. And some of us have stepped out on that word. But as we stepped out, amen, we saw that things were not coming together. We saw things fall apart. We let certain people get into our sphere or our circle of influence. That did not mean us no good. We've allowed different situations and circumstances. For some of us, we just allowed our own self-defeat talk continuously hold us back and keep us in fear, keep us in doubt, keep us on shaky ground. And I don't care. Amen. And a word that has been coming forth over and over again, and I remember, as I said before, that I preached this word in January of 2013 when it came upon the scene, and I've been hearing this word actually over and over again, and to the point where my husband just kind of looks at me and kind of rolls his eyes and says, I don't want to hear it anymore, because you already know. How long must God continuously say this to his people? So the word comes again constantly and says, try it again, try it again, try it again. I say that in agreement to every word that has been spoken, including agreeing to what my apostle says, try it again. Do not care what happened before. I don't care if you tried it two or three times. I don't care if you tried it 24 times. I don't care if you tried it 100 times. I don't care if the dream died while you were trying to resuscitate it. I don't care if the seed right died in your hand. I don't care if everything just went up in a puff of smoke. God is saying this day, June 27, 2013, to try it again. And everybody out there under the sound of my voice has words, has prophetic words, has dreams, has visions, has things that have been spoken to them and over them, that God is saying, try it again. And this time you shall succeed. Well, prophetess, we heard that word before, and I tried it again, and this, but you're not hearing what he's saying. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And who knows, people of God, I may be witness 144, but I'm saying it to you, I'm saying it to myself. We need to try it again. That book needs to be written, try it again, or those books. That ministry needs to be rebuilt. Try it again. That job that you were going for, that seems every time you went for it, the door closed in your face, try it again. That vision that God has spoken over you, you dreamed about it. He keeps every time you You try to cover it up. He always seems to make it come to the forefront. That right there, try it again. That move you need to make. Maybe God's calling you to move to another state or to another region or to another country. Try it again. Maybe that mission, He's calling you to the mission field, and it's time for you to begin to gather up those things. Try it again. One of the things that God spoke to me in prayer while I was in the hotel room, He says, I need you to prepare. He said, because I'm launching you forth. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I'm getting this word out over the air because somebody's going to get it in their spirit. God is saying to you and to me tonight, prepare the way. Prepare because I'm launching you forth. I'm pushing you forward. And I need you to be working and operating on all cylinders. I'm with you. I won't forsake you. My hand is up on you. I put the word, my word, in your mouth. Whatever you put your hand to shall succeed. Wherever your foot treads, you shall gain it. Go forth and do it now. This is your moment. This is your time. But do not forget, amen, hear me clearly, people of God, do not forget that I must be the focus. I must always remain in the forefront. As long as I remain the focus and the forefront, nothing shall stand against you. Nothing shall, it will try to come up against you, but it will not prosper. It will try to overtake you, but it will not be able to stand because my hand is up on you. But I must remain the focal point. And I'm saying all of that. God has to be the one that gets the glory out of everything that you do. Remember, there's nothing within you, nothing about you that's grand and glorious and wonderful. Everything that happens, every miracle, every sign, every wonder, every open door, you got to give God the glory for every bit, every little thing. And do know the more that you give Him glory, the more that He blesses you to bless others. Therefore, we are so sincere or so surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. I want to read this out of the Message Bible because it really drives the point home. He says here in the Message Bible of Hebrews 12:1, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. In other words, somebody paved the way for you, amen, to be where you are today. And rightfully so. Now it's your turn to pave the way so that you can make the pathway clear for somebody to go through. It's not by happenstance. It's not by mistake you went through that mess. It's not by a mistake that you got rejected. It's not by mistake that you got fired. It's not by mistake, amen, that you may have lost your home or lost your car. Or, you know, may have gone through that divorce or gone through losing a loved one, whatever the situation may be. Everything that is done, that has happened in your life, is done for the glory of God. Why? Because it's your time to come forth. It's your time to move forward in the things that God has promised you. But always remember, it's always about calling or causing or demonstrating His power in the earth, demonstrating the kingdom, discipling others, calling others, or showing others the way to Christ. In other words, it means that we better get on with it. You've been saved a number of years, and you're still sitting over on the third row, on the right side, over in the corner, still singing your same song, still doing your same speaking in tongues, still doing your same dance, and nothing's changing. Telling God, yes, I'm going to go forward. I'm going to do what you say do. But the moment that He puts something or gives you an idea to move forward, you have every excuse in the book as to the reason why you cannot do. Those days are over, people of God. More so now than ever, it's been alive in my spirit. I can't even get mad anymore about hearing the confirming word. I would hear the confirming word, being a little transparent on tonight, and I would still try to come up with an excuse as to why I could not do what God has asked me to do. And I know I'm talking to someone tonight because you're doing the same thing, but yet you're upset because you're talking about why the people passing you by. No one's actually passing you by. It's just the fact that they said yes, they came up with the idea, and they moved forward with what they had. And as they moved forward with a little bit, God breathed upon it, and now it's becoming greater, all for the glory of God. So our job, your job, my job, is that we got to get on with this thing. That's the people in the streets will say, we got to get back on our grind. And so it is for us as Christians. We got to get back on God's grind. We got to get back on the move. We have to no longer sit here and we keep waiting and waiting and waiting for God to do something when all the time, especially after you have gone through the process and the Lord has told you you've gone through the process, you passed the test, and you're still sitting here. Listen, he says here, it means we better get on with it, strip down, take off the weight, take off the excuses, take off every sin that so easily besets us. That means you got to let boo go. That means you got to let other things that are distracting you, that are pulling at your attention, let all that frivolous stuff go and start running and never quit. I'm going to say that again. Let's get rid of all the distractions, all the things that are pulling at us that really don't mean nothing. We give it more power than what it really means. Get rid of all the busyness, because the reality is we're all really busy in life, but we're really busy with the frivolous stuff and we are actually busy with the things that matter. And don't quit. And don't quit, and don't quit, and never quit. We have too many saints that are on the sideline because they just, I'm tired, they hurt me, they don't know, they don't talk about me. People are going to talk about you till you die. People aren't going to like you. It just is what it is. You can't keep making excuses as to the reason why you are still operating in mediocrity or just being mediocre with life and being satisfied. He says here, no extra spiritual fat, huh? No parasitic sins. In other words, get rid of the religion. Not the relationship. I'm not talking about the relationship. That needs to increase. The relationship with God needs to increase. But get rid of all this extra spiritual, is it such a word, religiosity that's holding people back, that keeps people from wanting to come into the doors. Huh? Get rid of all that. Get rid of all the hidden sins. And let's go forth and do what God has called us to do. He said, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus, both who began and finished the race we're in. Both who began and finished the race we're in. In other words, he already, when he died on the cross, he already won the victory for us. In other words, he was the greatest apostle that paved the way for us to get to the end, to make it easy for us to go through the pathway. He cut down all the thistles and the bushels and the thorns. He made the pathway straight. He made the pathway clear for us so that we can go through without tripping and falling and getting damaged in any kind of way. Now, here's the powerful part in this verse that jumped out at me. He said, study how he did it. Study to show thyself approved, workman being not ashamed. Many of us mess up right here, people of God, because we don't study how Jesus did it. We go off of what the preacher said. We go off of what other people have said. We go off of our own feelings, our own opinions. We go off of other people's feelings and opinions. Well, that seems right to me, so it must be right. We go off of our own opinion of what we think the word says. When it clearly says, study to show how he did it. Why? It says it right here. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He never lost sight of his purpose. He never lost sight of his assignment. My will is to do, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to complete his work. My food, my task, my reason for existence. And for many, for some, we have our reason for existence is everything but God. Everything but the call. Everything but the assignment. We want to sing all day. We want to be in everybody's convention. We want to do our praise dance. We want to shout all over the place. We want to speak in tongues. We want to lay hands. We want to do our good work. We want to show up when we're supposed to show up. But when it comes time to doing the assignment that he ordained for us, then we have every reason why it can't be done. Because what the pastor said, you know, you can't jump out there too soon. And that's why the Bible says, study how he did it. He could put up with anything along the way. I've always said it. In past messages on this Blog Talk station, I've said it before, Christianity is not for the weak. If the greater one lives on the inside of you, greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in the world. Then you too can put up with your cross. You too can put up with shame. You too can put up with whatever this world throws at you, because he, Christ Jesus, lives on the inside of you, the hope of your glory, the hope of glory. But the reason why some of us can't endure is because we're still filled with too much of us. We're still filled with too much of what we like and how we like it. We're still filled, or we still believe, amen, that we have ownership of ourselves. Too many choices, we still believe. I'm grown, I can make my own decisions. The scripture says that we are bought with a price. That you know, in other words, you no longer belong to you. Once you say, Lord, come into my heart, my life, excuse me, I will serve you, then no longer do you belong to your own. No longer can you go and do and be whoever you thought that you wanted to be. Now you have new ownership. You're under new management. And any time, or any of you that have been, who have employment and have gone under new management, you know that in order for you to remain employed in that new job or under that new management, you have to learn the ways of that company, of the new company that's taken over the old. And the same way with Christianity, once you come into Christ, you have to unlearn all the years that you've been doing it your way, and you have to learn new management, learn how Christ did it. That's why he said, study what he did. We got to lay aside every weight and the sin which easily ensnares us. Colossians 3:8 says this, but now is the time, listen up, now is the time to get rid of the anger, to get rid of the rage, to get rid of the malicious behavior, the slander, and the dirty language. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. We still got some Christians that's still slipping and tipping and little words slide out their mouth when they get upset. And the reason why that stuff continuously happens is because you're not thoroughly immersing yourself in Christ. You're not thoroughly or you're not really laying aside everything or giving everything over to him. You're still trying to hold on to a piece of yourself. You're still not nailing those things, those fleshly things to the cross. Paul says, I die daily. It's a choice, people of God. Daily, you got to lay aside what you want to do, how you feel, what you think, how they feel that you, how they think you ought to know it, how you ought to do it. Daily, you have to lay it aside to walk and do it as Christ would do it. He said, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run. 1 Corinthians 9 and 24 says, remember that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. You also must run in such a way that you will win. It's not good enough to just be saved. It's not good enough just to show up at church. It's not good enough to be faithful in your tithes and making sure you make all the auxiliaries and every time the church doors is open, you're there. That's a form of it. Those things are important. But you still must, A, live a holy, just, sanctified lifestyle, and you must fulfill the call or the assignment or the task that God has for you. All of that comes into play. We just can't pick and choose what parts we want to live and what parts we don't. That's the problem with many people today is that we feel that we have choice here. There is no choice. Choice is to live holy and righteous for him. Huh? Or not. Galatians 2 and 2 says this, I went there because God revealed to me that I should go. This is Paul talking. While I was there, I talked privately with the leaders of the church. I wanted them to understand what I had been preaching to the Gentiles. I wanted to make sure they did not disagree or my ministry would have been useless. Can you go where you know that you won't be liked? Can you go and preach God's word? Can you live holy amongst heathens? Can God trust you? Let me say that. I like that better. Can God trust you to live holy amongst those that refuse to live holy? Can you still keep the ministry pure? Can you still remain faithful and not get caught up with everybody else? Can the conversation still be holy? Can you still preach Jesus? Hebrews 10:39 says, but we are not like those who turn their backs on God and steal their faith. We have faith that assures our salvation. I've said it before, and I always say, do people know that you're saved outside of the church that you joined? Do people at your job know that you're saved? Do people, do certain family members besides the three that you see every week know that you're saved? Do the people in the grocery store know that do that wherever God has allowed you to be, do they know that you know the Father? He said, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Always be patient in trouble. Always be prayerful to live this lifestyle, to live this kingdom lifestyle, to live in a prophetic atmosphere. You have to have a prayer lifestyle. You have to have a relationship with the Father. I don't know how we can get up here and not talk to the Master all week long
until Sunday arrives. And then all of a sudden we're trying to prophesy. We're trying to teach word, teach the Bible and try to get all of this revelation when we haven't spent time with the one that gives revelation. We want to give all this wisdom without spending time with the one who is wisdom. We want people to follow us when we have follow ourselves. What is this mess? Listen, he said to run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. This is the challenge. This is the charge, men and women of God. And I know, listen to Prophetess Crystal, I know that God has a people. Everybody has not bowed down to Baal. People are living holy. People are praying. God has some people. This I know. I don't kid myself. I'm not sitting up here talking like I'm the only one that's living right and holy. I know I'm not the only one. I'm just glad to be one of the ones. But for the ones who aren't, my job is to call people back to Christ, call people back to God, call people back to holiness. Looking to Jesus, we've got to get back to preaching Jesus. We've got to get back to preaching holiness. We've got to get back to preaching sanctification. We've got to get back to calling people back to completing their assignments in Christ. I was listening last night to a preacher preach a message, and as they were going forth and music going forth and they going forth in the message and driving the service, and I started listening to the words that were coming. Well, they were saying these are the prophetic words that were coming forth, and God said, I hear the Holy Ghost say, You know how we do it. Been in church any time, any length of time. But the one thing that I kept constantly hearing from this particular speaker was the blessing, the blessing, the blessing. You're going to get more than you ever had. They made a statement and said, it's going to get done, whether you believe it or not. In other words, they were basically saying, amen, that God is going to complete the promise whether you believe it or not. Now, my Bible said that without faith, it's impossible to please him. So what was going forth now, hear what I'm saying in this retrospect. If God spoke it, he's going to make sure that the word gets performed because he can't lie. However, if you don't line up with the part that you're supposed to play, it'll get performed. You just won't be a recipient of it. It takes faith to walk this thing out. There are things that God has promised. It's going to take the faith of God, your faith in God. Because his word just says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And that's why we have a lot of upset Christians, people who love God, but they're upset because we're preaching things and teaching things that are contrary to the whole word of what God is saying. And because they're not studying the word themselves, they're going off of, well, you know, I'm following the man and the woman of God, so they ought to know. But we're not challenging them to get in the word themselves and find out what he's saying. Find out what he meant. So when the speaker was going forth, they're saying no matter if you believe in God, still going to do it no matter what for you. But the reality is if you don't have faith in him to do it, then it's going to get done, but he's going to do it for the one who has faith. And we have a lot of wonderful people of God that love the Lord, believe God, love him with everything, but they're disillusioned with him because of what they're being taught, They're not being taught in the full truth. They're still waiting on the house and the car. They kept talking about the blessing, the blessing, the blessing, the blessing, the blessing. So in the blessing, it takes obedience, 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 obedience. If you're not living the life, if you're not walking according to his statutes, if you're not living a holy lifestyle, if you're not getting into his faith, learning his voice, or obeying what he's called, asked you to do, then by all means, you're not getting the blessing. And we need to start preaching the truth to folks and telling them what the kingdom of God or what the word of God is really saying in order for them to reap the kingdom. And quit telling folks that they don't get this mansion because everybody's not getting the mansion. Are you going to live well? Yes, you're going to live well. God can't get glory if you be a broke down, busted, and disgusted, as they say. But at the same time, he knows what he has already ordained for you from the beginning of time before he birthed you in the earth. And if in that your assignment that he's given you, if the mansion is not in your assignment, you're not getting the mansion. So you got people who sit here lusting after other folks' stuff, feeling bad, feeling disillusioned, feeling disappointed, angry at God because they're trying to get somebody else's blessing that was in their assignment, that's not for their assignment. Yeah, I had to let that marinate for a minute because some of y'all been running around in circles. Some of y'all been upset. Some of y'all been angry with God because you still waiting on that house. You waiting on that car. You waiting on that gigantic ministry. You waiting on those 10,000 people. And maybe he's called you to the faithful 10, the faithful 20, the faithful 50, the faithful 150. And maybe out of that 150, it may be one that you minister to that'll be to those 10,000. And they'll always point back to you because you'll be their spiritual parent. But you're too busy trying to reach after the 10,000 and neglecting the 150 that are in front of you. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author. Who is this all about? The originator. Jesus, the originator and the finisher or the perfecter or the one that matures of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him? Huh? Endured. Oh, God. We don't want to talk about that thing. Talk about anything profitable but that endurance. Going through, going through. It says here, for who, verse 2, for who the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Psalm 69:7, for I am mocked and shamed for your sake. Humiliation is written all over my face. Verse 19, excuse me, 69 and 19, or Philippians 2 and 8, and in human form he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death. Can you endure the cross? Hebrews 2 and 9, what we do see is Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels and now is crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death for us. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death before everyone in the world, everyone in all the world. He made the pathway straight for you. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Father. So how dare we act like we can't go through nothing? How dare we act like can't nobody talk about us? How dare we act like can't nobody lie on us? How dare we act like we can't even go through an ounce of stress? They just don't know who I am. And maybe they do, but who cares? Sometimes the test, 9 times out of 10, the test is more so you can see who you really are. God already knows who you are. But most of the time, we have an image of who we think we are. And most of the time, the image that we have who we think we are is very incorrect or very askew. So the Lord allows the winds to blow in our lives. And in those winds, we get to see the cracks. We get to see the little dark places. The tests come, the shaking comes. So we get to see all the little pieces of shard all over the place. We get to see how ugly we really are, how those fake facades that we continuously build up. We get to see the real us. We get to see, do we really have all that faith we said we have? Do we have all that power we claim we have? Can you slay a demon? When one arises, can you handle it in the name of the Lord? Can you turn that plate down? You really get to see the essence of who you are when you're tested, when the metal is tested. And let's be honest, people of God, sometimes it's straight out ugly. But thanks be to God, because we have a mediator, that when we see the ugliness of ourselves, we can go to the Father in the name of Jesus. And start laying aside, start being naked before him so that we can become greater in his character. So that, or in other words, that his character can be built up in us. Laying aside every weight. Verse 3. For consider him. We're talking about the discipline of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your own soul. Galatians 6 and 9 says it like this. So don't be tired of doing what is good. I want to encourage someone. Don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get tired of living right. Don't get tired in pursuing after the things of God. Don't get tired in looking to please him. Don't get tired. Don't get discouraged, and definitely don't give up. So we will weep. Some of you need to put your own name there and say, for whatever your name is, we'll reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. You got to remember there's a timing for everything in God's timing. Everything will happen. So you can't look over at the neighbor. You can't look over at the friend. Because everybody, God has a time limit for everything on everybody's life. Hebrews 12 and 5 says this. My child, don't ignore when the Lord disciplines you, and don't be discouraged when he corrects you. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. In other words, if God is not chastening you, if God is not challenging you, if sometimes God does not rebuke you, then there's no love. I'm glad I have a God that won't let me just do and say and be whoever I want to be. Well, he prophet, if he hasn't actually came down and said it. Well, you know what? If you have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you, and if you are attuned to him, he's speaking to you. He'll let you know when you've said a little bit too much. He'll let you know when that attitude was a little bit too foul. He'll let you know when that conversation was a little ungodly. He'll let you know when you should have said, when you should have spoken up for him. He'll let you know when you need to minister. He'll let you know when you need to keep your mouth shut. He'll let you know when you're in a place you don't need to be. If you are attuned to the frequency of his voice and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know. I don't think I know the Lord's voice. Well, you know what? God always has a backup. He'll let that friend, that pastor, that evangelist, that first lady, that mama, that auntie, that uncle, that daddy, that boyfriend, that girlfriend, bestie, So God always has a way of coming along and saying, you know what, that was wrong. You was foul. You was talking. You should have did it better than this. You should have said that. You shouldn't have did this. Then you say you was, I thought you was trying to, then you make this promise up. Huh? God always has a way of making sure he gets the message to you. It's just, are you ready to hear? And not only hear, are you ready to receive and accept and do what he said to do? Verse 7. If you endure, chasten me. He said, if you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. I could say a whole lot right there, but it's going to take me all past my time. Deuteronomy 8 and 5 says, you should realize that just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you. Why? To help you. That's the problem with some of us. We don't want discipline. We don't want rules. We don't like rules. They call it oppositional defiant disorder. But it's nothing but a spirit of rebellion. And somebody needs to just go up against that demon and cast it out at the root. That's all it is. It's a spirit. A demon from the pit of hell. Anytime somebody says something that's in authority, they got to fight against it. And for some of us, we have ODD in the spirit because we don't want to listen to what God is telling us to do and trying to do our own thing. And every time you try to, you always hit that brick wall. And listen, let me tell you something. God isn't going to follow you. He's going to expect you to follow him. Watch it against the prick. If you endure, chastening. God deals with you as with sons, but what son is there when the father does not chasten? But if you're not, if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you're legitimate and not sons. Come on, let us pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, God, I thank you right now for this word. Father, I pray right now, charge our hearts right now, set us ablaze, set us on fire. God, to do what you are calling us to do in the mighty name of Jesus. God, from this point forward, don't let us sleep, don't let us rest, don't let us slumber. A little folding of the hands, a little closing of the eye. God, no more. Take it, take sleep from us until we begin to complete your assignment and your will and your task for our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. We give your name all praise and glory. Even those of you who are not saved, repeat this after me. Father, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and my life. Take up residence. I want to live for you. Take control. Whatever your will is, I will do. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome into the kingdom of God. I pray and believe that you will find a church home that's preaching and teaching the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. Visit us there. Go to our Facebook page, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and Women of Prophetic Destiny. Leave us a shout out. Leave us a praise report. Leave us a prayer request. Also, remember our sons and daughters that are under our ministry and our covering. We need your financial support as well. Listen, I'm Prophetess Crystal McQueen. I want you to join me next week at 7 p.m. for Prophetic Atmosphere. Be blessed in the Lord and have a wonderful evening. Good night.